This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, man. Good morning. How do you do? Hey, man. Just want to talk about the boys in blue. Hey, man. Now that you've been here a year, what's your favorite KCQ? Hey, man. What's new in the clubhouse, the bullpen, and the lineup, too? Hey, man. How was the road trip? Bob and Dusty want to know. Hey, man. What do you think of Slugger and FM radio? Hey, man. Is it true you're a deadhead, too? Hey, man. Kid Baseball want to talk music.
Shout out to the old number fives for that banger of a jam. That'll put a cheese blanket on your ears.
Hell yes, it will.
You better believe it. We are so back, and the route to 162-0 begins tomorrow. We are now joined by Royals manager Matt Cotrero. Hey, let's address it. How's Vinny Pasquantino doing, Mr. Cotrero? And also, how are you doing?
Well, I would think you would want to start with that first before Vinny, but okay. I'll go with Vinny first if that's your lead-in, but that's fine.
Let's talk about you. It is your show, so give us how was Arizona? It was nice to see you the other day.
You surprised me coming down the steps. I didn't know you were there.
Well, I was there the other day.
It is called surprise.
It is called surprise. Surprise! I was there.
There you go.
We'll go over Vinny's notes that I took for 3 days to kind of compare things before the season starts at a later date. If you want, you're laughing.
Well, I mean, why at a later date? If they're that important, should we do them before the season?
Okay, well, let's get to it. I think Bobby Witt's going to be a pretty good shortstop. I think Cole Reagans has got the stuff to lead a rotation. And I'll be honest with you, I love Jonathan India at the top of the lineup, Q.
He had an awesome spring. I mean, we obviously, he's been doing this 4 or 5 years now in the big leagues, but the spring he had was incredible. The quality of the at-bats, how hard he hit the ball, what he swung at, but more importantly, what he didn't swing at. You know, he doesn't expand the zone. He's not overmatched by anything. He had a remarkable spring, and that's aside from results. And you don't put a lot of stock into results, especially in Arizona spring training games for offenses. But the way that he approached things was incredible, and we put a lot on his plate. You know, moving around, playing third, playing left, playing second. the work he had to do away from the games. It was a great spring for Johnson. It was great to get to know him better and, you know, just the start of something good. But I agree with you on the other points, too, about Cole and Bobby. Yeah.
Yeah, you think they're going to be good?
They better be.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So how is Vinny doing?
Vinny's good. You know, I mean, I think even right the day of the injury, we had a pretty good sense that he was going to be okay. Like, it wasn't a terrible hamstring strain, but, you know, the fact that these last couple of days he's improved each day, we've added more work to him each day. You know, yesterday he ran a little, he took full BP, took ground balls. The day before was just a little, was BP in the cages. So today will be a full workout, and we'll just gauge him. I mean, we have to be responsible with what he's saying and how he's feeling, but we're very optimistic.
When you look at this team and you look at some, you know, some new faces, I mean, obviously you brought in Estevez in that bullpen. How do you change? I mean, maybe not change, but how do you feel going into this season with a revamped bullpen? That is something that, you know, is kind of in your backyard of what you've got to kind of focus on when it comes to these games.
Well, you need 13 really good pitchers, you know, and I think we've done a good job of building depth. The bullpen and the rotation is solid. So, you know, you don't know how any one game is going to unfold, mm-hmm. and any one series, any one week. So you got to be prepared for as many things as you can. But certainly adding a guy like Carlos to the Ursig, Harvey, Zerpa, Sam Long, all the guys that we saw do well last year, you know, that's certainly going to help us. And he's got a proven track record. He understands what he's doing. He knows how to prepare. He's a great teammate. And so all of those things are going to factor in and give us a big boost.
Getting him was a pretty big deal for you guys, because it looked like for a while, we're talking about Estevez, looking for through the prism, if you will, it looked like Santander was a target this offseason, didn't get him, but then immediately went out and signed a quality reliever. And I know I don't want to say new anymore, you're going into year three of this, and we've kind of had this conversation, but just to have the owner that John Sherman is and JJ and those two guys to be willing to go out there and give you what you need, how does that make your job easier, if you will, better, if you will, how you want to describe it, by having the wherewithal to know you got the backing of the money and the general manager?
Well, I think when the three of us, and along with Scott Sharp and the whole front office, you know, the pro scouting department, Jimmy Cuthbert, those guys that really put the work in on targeting the guys that we think are going to make us better, they take that to Mr. Sherman, and he signs off, or he, you know, moves on from certain things. But certainly that relationship is key to having a successful organization, and it starts with him. But, you know, JJ and I communicate very well. He communicates well with Mr. Sherman. So that's the key to it, is everybody's on the same page. We all know we want to win, and you can never have enough good players. Now, the financial aspect is something that's out of my realm, but when he says, let's go, we go. And that's exciting for us as an organization, but it should be exciting to the fans as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're talking to Matt Cotrero, the manager for the Royals. Kind of want to bring up opening day for you, because I have two questions here. One, how quickly are you going to be annoyed or pissed off when people start bringing up last season's results and kind of comparing to this season? Because I found out the hard way early on last year. And then also, like, what does opening day mean for you? You've been around the game for so long, but every year is different. Every year it's a new story, a new beginning. But what does opening day mean to Matt Cotrero?
Well, it's definitely something that you relish. I mean, you don't take it for granted. The fact that whether it's in the minor leagues or the big leagues or college, whatever, there's only one of these for every season. And, you know, the fact that I have the opportunity to manage a major league team and be around a great group of coaches and players and front office, you got to pinch yourself a little bit, right? Because you would think as a kid, like, you know, this is not something you think is going to be a possibility. And then when you're in this position, you got to really enjoy it. You know, and then it turns to being focused on our processes and trying to win the game. You know, I mean, you soak it in at the beginning. You know, you see the crowd, all the atmosphere, the introductions, and everybody's out there. It's a big deal, you know, and it's fun to enjoy that. And then as soon as that stuff's over, it's a game, and we got to do everything we can to win that game. So kind of divided attention prior to the game, and then get right into your routines. But, you know, I certainly don't take it for granted. I can tell you that. I look around every second and try to soak it in.
And then you have that
as far as your question about last year, last year's over, right?
That's right.
It has no bearing on what's going to happen this year, and there's really no sense in reflecting on it now that this year's here. Let's enjoy what we have.
No doubt.
But last year also springboards you to the attitude this year where the guys walk in, they say, we know we're in the playoffs this year because they had that taste of it last year. So I kind of liken you guys now to the Chiefs. We know, we expect you to be in the postseason, knowing that you're going to be there. How does that change maybe the way you approach the regular season? Is there more of an urgency to the regular season than maybe there was if you're not with those expectations?
No, I don't think so, because where we would get in trouble, where any team gets in trouble, is if you start thinking about October in March. I mean, you can't do that in this game. There's 162 games. Every team's going to go through ups and downs. Every team's going to have injuries. Every team's going to have performance issues that we think, you know, underperformance from someone, overperformance from someone. And that's the beauty of building a deep roster, because you know you're going to need. Last year, you know, JJ brought it up. We used 52 players last year, and we were extremely healthy, you know, and we're starting the year with 26. So
wow.
There's going to be a lot of things that happen, and we have to be able to withstand those. And in my opinion, the best way to withstand those is you don't get ahead of yourself. You take your opportunity today to try to win. That's why I'm not a proponent of thinking about, oh, this is a tough stretch of the schedule or an easy stretch of the schedule. They're all tough, and if we approach it that way, that's our best chance to win.
All right, we'll get to Jack Caglione in a minute because I can see my co-host looking at me going, let's talk Jack, let's talk Jack. But before we get to him, who else, like, did you see down at spring training you were, like, surprised about in a good way where you walked away going, all right, I'm looking forward to seeing that guy at the big leagues, or in a year maybe this guy will be here, or he's on the roster. Is there somebody that jumped out for you?
Oh, certainly. You know, some of the arms that are going to be in Omaha were – outstanding. They were really fun to watch. The Noah Cameron, Winder Avila, Steven Zoback, those guys, they were phenomenal this spring. Their presence, the development that I've seen, you know, didn't see much of them in the past, but the little bit I saw in minor league camp to what they did in big league camp was phenomenal. You know, another guy that had a great year last year, he was the player of the year in Omaha, John Rave. He had a great spring. You know, so there's a lot to be excited about. But I'd say those pitchers, they really stand out as up-and-comers.
Speaking of one, you got a good one tomorrow. You're going up against the slab against Reagans. I can't wait. I think it's going to be a super fast game because both guys are studs with Cole Reagans versus Tanner Bibee, or Bibee, however you want to say it. I know it's Bibee. But I want to ask you this. We're done with baseball. What's the best thing you did in this offseason?
Well, that's a good question. We went on a family trip to Beaver Creek. We got our kids on skis for the first time. My wife's a snowboarder. I've skied my whole life, and this is the first time that we've gotten them out on skis, and they loved it. So the goal of the trip was have them like it and nobody to get hurt, and we accomplished both of those.
That's outstanding. That is very good. Is your wife happy to have you home?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sure about that?
Well, who wouldn't be?
Golly.
I love it. All right, tell us about Jack. When's he going to be in the lineup?
Well, you know what? I mean, let's be fair to Jack. I mean, he's got a month of minor league ball under his belt plus this spring. You know, Jack needs to go play. He needs to establish his routines. He has to deal with the ups and downs of every day. Mm. He's going to Double-A, which is a very good level of baseball. That would be unfair to put a timetable on him. He had an incredible spring. He's an impressive person. He's an impressive player. He's physically imposing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a reason we drafted him as highly as we did in the first round. Our evaluators think the world of him, and he did nothing but impress this spring. So let's see him go out and knock the door down and force us to call him up at some point. But a timetable would not be fair to put on him.
No doubt about it. Q, we appreciate you back. It is a new season. It seems like it just happened, like we just ended it yesterday, but we're ready to go see if the boys in blue can take care of the business against the Guardians. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next Wednesday at 9 o'clock, my man.
Okay, guys. Have a great week.
You too.
Thank you. Beaver Creek.
Nice.
I heard that place is beautiful.
Getting some skiing in.
I'm afraid if I went and tried to go ski, I would just never get up, and I would just constantly be falling.
I was talking to my friend who skis a lot. He's 71 years old, and he's skiing like it's nobody's business, right? And he's going like 40 miles an hour down the hill. He sends me his little things. I'm like, I can't even get near a mountain. I'm scared.
Really?
I've skied one time in my life. I'm like, ah, man, I don't need to do that again.
It's like my favorite activity ever. Oh, I love it.
It's like, where's Dusty? He's at the ski lodge drinking Miller Lite.
See, that's where I would be. I'd be sitting in the fire drinking, and I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, that's fun. The bar at 9 a.m. We landed on the moon. Coming up on the other side, we revisit some topics earlier from today. Plus, has there ever been a duo who's never gotten along or possibly couldn't get along like the one that is currently in New York? You're listening to 96.5 The Fan. You're home. For Kansas City Sports.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Right back at it. SI. Dusty, you're a dirty dog for this lead-in. SI did a article on stadiums.
Yeah, you are dirty on this one.
In the major leagues. Give me a break. I told you I'm passive. But they ranked all the baseball stadiums because obviously opening day is tomorrow. Do you want to guess where the Royal Stadium ranked out of all 30 baseball teams?
Are we counting the two minor league facilities in Tampa and Sacramento?
They're dead last.
Okay, which they should be.
Yeah, they're the last two.
Well, I know where they rank, so I'm not going to say that. Do you know where it ranks,
no.
Mac? Guess.
12th?
Huh. 19th.
Yeah, damn it.
Kauffman Stadium, according to Tom Verducci, who wrote this article. That's the source. God, I'm just on one. he says, the fountains never get old. Kauffman Stadium is reliable old friend. Nothing crazy, just a comfortable, pleasant place to watch baseball.
And for a lot of people, that's all they need to hear.
Mm-hmm. The one element it most lacks is what the top six ballparks on this list all have. Intimacy. The best baseball parks create a welcoming, cozy vibe. You've got to be more park-like and less stadium to be an elite baseball venue. Even the original Yankee Stadium, as massive as it was, had it because the pillars pulled the upper levels close to the field. Kauffman's design makes such coziness almost impossible. Coors Field is the only ballpark with more square footage of field. Tom Verducci. By the way, the top five ballparks in baseball, according to this SI article, believe it or not, that's what it is. I'm reading it verbatim. Number five is Petco in San Diego.
Great ballpark.
Number four is Fenway. Yeah. Bias. Number three is PNC.
Great
which
ballpark.
Is, the greatest ballpark in baseball. Number two is Oracle, which is the Giants, obviously, which
pretty
is
pretty special.
McCovey Cove out there. It must have been when Bonds was playing because there's like a ton of yachts out there in right field.
There always are, man. People love to get that ball, you know?
And then number one on the list is Wrigley Field. So, you know, I mean, I've never been to Wrigley. I want to. It's a bucket list. I need to go. VIP, if you're listening, sign me up. But, like, I kind of like that Wrigley's number one. And the reason they say it is the Ivy, the old school scoreboard, the overlooking rooftop bleachers. There's so much charm around the field.
There is.
The friendly confines that no amount of tasteful or warranted modern updates over the past decade can detract from the building's timeless feel. Factor in the endless line of bars and restaurants in the surrounding Wrigleyville area. Mm. Weird how that works.
Yeah, right. Yeah, crazy.
And you have an unmatched ballgame experience that starts well before first pitch and lasts long after the final out. It is the predictable choice for MLB's best ballpark, yes, but predictable isn't so bad in baseball. Like a hot dog and a cold beverage or the seventh inning stretch, ranking Wrigley Field number one just feels right.
Yeah, it does, and it's hard to argue with that, right? Everything they said about Wrigley, it really is that intimate environment that has so much going on outside of it, which is what, obviously, you know, the Royals wanted to do and still want to do. And so we'll see ultimately where they end up. Mm-hmm. I don't think anything is off the table at this point in time, you know, and people can release statements and say things and do all that kind of stuff that they want. But the fact of the matter is there's still a lot of entities in play to get this new ballpark. And I think yesterday people take what I said and used it as fact when I never said it was fact. I preface every stadium topic that we have with, I'll give you the information I'm hearing. You can disseminate it however you want. You can take all that information however you want to take it and use that information however you want to use it. I never said the deal was done. Nothing is done until the deal is signed, and they're cutting a ribbon. Things can change at any time. They can go do an environmental study somewhere. They go, ooh, can't do it here. The environment's not good enough for that. Or whatever. However an environmental study works, right? So
normally it's on the environment.
Yeah, like, yeah, right. Well, I don't know how they you come back and they go, no, right? The environmental study could fail.
Too many cigs.
Yeah, whatever it is, right? There are so many different layers to all of this. And so yesterday we were quoting the Kansas City Business Journal, okay? The Kansas City Business Journal had a quote and an email that they relayed from 3D Development, which leads the We Love KC Baseball campaign. And they have the Washington Square Park as their place that they want to build the ballpark downtown. Their website, not Bob Fesco's, their website, 3D Development, We Love KC Baseball, reads, it's now the bottom of the ninth, and we need to rally. In an email statement Monday, 3D Development said a lot of stuff, but the last paragraph, it's a critical time right now for Kansas Cityans to show support for a Royal Stadium in downtown Kansas City. The alternative and reality is that Kansas is about to win this ballpark. That's 3D Development, who's running the downtown side of things to try to get baseball downtown. That goes out in the Business Journal. Then Asperia, which we've been talking about since Mac got here in July. I mean, I think we've been talking about this at least since around Halloween time, right? At least since around Halloween time, we've been talking about 119th. They've not responded to anything. They've never said one word out there at Asperia. Then this article appears in the Business Journal. Asperia, Occidental, whatever the group is called, has these business campuses all over the country. They've got tenants all over the country. When you see something in the Business Journal, which is not just the Kansas City Business Journal, this is a national publication, right? And then it has the Kansas City angle to it, which every city has their edition of the Business Journal. But rich people, real estate people, investors, they read the Business Journal. They see in the Business Journal 3D Development saying the reality is that Kansas is about to win the ballpark, while the site that's been talked about in Kansas has a bunch of tenants on that property that they still need to keep happy in case it doesn't happen. And they have tenants and they have buildings and they have things all over the nation. And people are reading that Business Journal going, huh, is that company doing okay? And then people start to wonder. So they had to issue that statement yesterday. I do think everything is still in play, from downtown to the Northland to 119th to 95th and Antioch. I do believe that it's all in play. And like I said, I'm not guaranteeing anything. I didn't say anything was definite. I said, this is what we're hearing. You can take the information for whatever it's worth. I said from the beginning of this thing that I was going to be an open book on this, and anything I was hearing, I was going to share. I never once said it was definitive. And Mac and Dusty, you guys can back me up on that.
That's true.
Because I'm sure you're tired of hearing me say, here's the information I'm getting. Do with it what you want. Nothing's a done deal.
I'm just relaying.
But this is what we're hearing. Yeah. I'm just relaying, right? You're tired of that.
Yes. I've heard it about a million times.
Right.
You've been consistent with that statement.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think look, I wrote some things down, and I took everything yesterday. You know, after my golf round, I get text from Kramer and, you know, Mac and Gold, and, you know, some close friends are like, what in the hell did you guys do yesterday? And I looked at it, and I keep an open mind, and, you know, probably went to the garage a little longer than I should have, but that's just every day, basically. And I think a lot of this sort of frustration comes in is that nobody believes anybody's sources.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the world we live
in, right? That's 2025.
Unless you are Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, they don't even believe Jordan Schultz.
Right.
Right? We remember that. They got into a fight about it because, your sources are wrong. Nobody believes yours. Nobody believes Lucas's. Nobody believes Spire or whatever the hell that's called.
Right.
And then the other thing that I think it's just what did Beakley call it? A big bag of suck, Dust Man?
Big ball suck.
And I think that when you look at this, it's all a trickle-down effect. And this is coming from a Jackson County representative, right? Not a representative, but a resident. Representative. Maybe one day.
No. You saw that win for Frank.
Right, yeah. Well, I ain't Frank. I can tell you that much. I think the vote no was something that really just kind of lit the fire, right? Because I think a lot of people said, they won't move, they won't do this, the hell with more money, I'm not voting yes on this. And it lost, it really did. And it was kind of eye-opening, which then the power shifts in the discussions. So then, here we are, timing is absolutely insane how this works, but we're now almost a full year to the date of the vote being passed as no.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like myself, and I try to speak for the people in the city sometimes, like myself, I am tired as hell hearing about stadium news. I don't, I always say, wake me up when September ends. That's mm-hmm. the song by Green Day. Wake me up when it's all over. And I'm not discrediting you. I'm not discrediting these people. You're not just coming into the studio. And Carrington said this yesterday, and I respect him for this. Rob Brenton said this. We're not coming into the studio and you're like just making this up.
No.
Somebody's telling you this. Now, what that person's credibility is, honestly.
Well, it's people.
Yeah. I don't know.
And
you do.
Yeah.
You're at your own obligation to give what information you want to give from what they're telling you mm-hmm. and who's telling you. You don't have to give names. That's not how sources work.
Right. I'm never going to.
And I think
it'll be in the book when I'm done.
And I think the other thing is that, like, when people hear somebody say, you know, it's basically 95% chance that they're moving.
And I just threw that number out there yesterday right. based on the Business Journal article.
And so
right?
they look at that and they say, well, Bob, you said crossing the T's, dotting the I's, 95% done. You basically said it's a done deal. Didn't say it was a
Didn't
done
say
deal.
It was a done
but
deal.
Said, in your opinion, from what you've heard, again, we go back to your opinion, you are a radio host in the city. The microphone is more powerful than a hand grenade. I learned that in college from a professor that said that, and it stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
People hear things they want to hear. People believe things they want to hear. There are people that are on your side. There are people that are on Lucas's side. There are people that are on nobody's side. And those people are the ones that just sit back and just kind of say, this person's wrong. That person's wrong. This, and again, I don't want to see the stadium move to a suburb.
I've really said all along, even
right.
yesterday, I said,
yeah.
I want a downtown stadium.
Yeah, and again, I don't want to have a suburban stadium. I want a city stadium. I want where it's at. I like where it's at. It's not going to be there. I know that.
And that's the other thing. We've got to stop talking about preserving Kauffman Stadium.
Right.
That is not an option, folks.
Yeah, and so, like, when I look at this, like, I think I'm like everybody else. I'm just tired.
Yeah.
I want a resolution, and I want it to be over with, and wherever it is, just let it be in the metro. Let it stay here. Do not do what I fear the most of my life and having this team go somewhere else. So I think when you take everything that was yesterday, some people are on side mayor, some people are on side Bob, some people are on side, I don't know who to believe, but I don't believe either one of them. And I think you add all of that together and it's a big ball of stuff.
It is. And I think that's a good way to put it because I'm tired of it too. I mean, I really am. Like, I get frustrated with it. I get frustrated with, number one, the whole process has just been, it just hasn't been handled well, right? The Royals and Chiefs have not controlled the message for themselves. And that's a major problem. The PR side of things with this stadium stuff has been a failure. There's no doubt about that, right? But when you get the information, I said months, a year ago, 13 months ago, whenever it was, when I get the information, I'm just going to present it to you. Do what you want. The folks who are doing the downtown development side said, it's the bottom of the ninth and we need to rally. If they're saying that the bottom of the ninth means 95% of the game is over, right? It's just about done at that point in time. That's what they're saying. Again, and I said this yesterday, this isn't me saying this. I'm reading what 3D Development said in an email to the Business Journal. The alternative and reality is that Kansas is about to win this ballpark. That's coming from them, not coming from me.
Mac, what do your sources say?
I kid.
Yeah, no. But I think we all agree. Like, I think everybody is in the same situation that, like, when the vote, like, I was blindsided. I thought it was going to pass.
I thought it would pass slightly, but I thought it was going to pass.
I remember when you and Kling called, I think you called me, and I was on my way to work, and you're like, Dusty, you live in Jackson County. What's your situation on this? And mine was, I think it passes, and I think it's 55-45. And you guys are like, wow, that's significant. And I was like, Why are they saying that? That doesn't seem like it's that. They're like, we think it's going to be like 51-49.
Yeah.
You know, or it's going to be like the Missouri sports betting bill where it's like
three votes.
Yeah, right. So, like, I think when that happened, it was like, damn. And then I don't think people realize, because I think, like, in voting in general, whether it's politicians, whether it's rules, whether it's laws, whether it's whatever, you're always majority people that vote are being told how to vote, right? Like, it's your parents saying, like, you do not vote for this party, vote for this party. Well, did you do your own research? Hey, vote no. We're not paying more money. Don't do that. Vote no. Vote no. Because once you're 18 and you're a registered voter, you can go vote. Like, mm-hmm. you have that right. And so I'm interested to know, like, how many people actually believe that we lived in Jackson County. Like, hey, this team might go somewhere else.
Right.
Not just Kansas. This team might go to Nashville. And like, that would break my heart. So like, I voted yes just to keep them here.
And that's that people say you're pushing an agenda. You're damn right I'm pushing an agenda. Keeping the Royals in the Kansas City market. I don't care where they end up. If they want to build out at the Legends, if they want to build in the Northland, if they want to build in Liberty, if they want to build in Belton, I don't care where they build as long as it's in Kansas City. I can't stomach not getting something done and watching Nashville come in. I just don't want to live for that. I'm not interested in that. And I don't think anybody is. So it doesn't matter where in the metro this stadium gets built as long as it gets built. And I still believe that there's nothing off the table right now. I still believe every option is an option, and it should be until they sign a deal. You've got to keep all your options open.
And let me ask you this, and you guys can both react to this. How many people that get mad about what you say would be more pissed if you didn't say anything at all? And we're just like, so what's up with the stadium development? What's
and
up with
I,
the
And
stadium?
I say, well, I know, but I can't say.
Yeah, sure you do.
Right.
Right, like you, right. It's a lose-lose.
Yep.
It's because the situation is so effed because it didn't go the way it was supposed to go because people who drew up the plans failed. They changed where they were going to do it so many times that nobody knew. And I've compared this since after hours that when they did the stadium, it was like I've said this before. You had a project due at the end of the semester that you got on syllabus day, which is, we all know in college.
Day one
is syllabus day. It's the most laid-back day of the world. But they always hit you with the last thing. By the way, you will have a team project at the end of the semester. Mm-hmm. Make sure you get with your team, kind of figure out what your roles are. And the best projects are done a month before the semester's
over. Get it done. I tell my kids this all the time. Get it done.
And the worst project is the one that was, oh, crap, we got this thing due Friday. We got to get on it. And it's Monday before that's actually due. And you know who didn't do their work. When they threw up bubbles and pop-up stuff and said it's going to go here, and then you got a group that was like anti about it and their voice was louder than yours, that's where the problem started. And then all of a sudden it failed, and then it went, what, 6, 7, 8 months? And you said, oh, so the people are talking about it. I said, oh, they're doing more than talking about it because somebody finally got whatever they had, that somebody was Bob, said what they said, and all of a sudden it's back to the ping pong. And nobody knows the resolution. Nobody knows the future. We just know what one person's saying, and either you have beef with that person or you support that person, and that's where we are.
And that's where we are. And then the mayor rolled out a project yesterday, $1.2 to $1.3 billion. We don't know where that money's coming from. But also in that article, it said the Royals have not yet responded to the mayor on this. I mean, if this was something that they were
and
truly...
And who's to say we believe them?
Well, yeah.
Like, that's where I'm at. Like, who's to say that's true?
Well, yeah, but right? I'm just reading from the article, right? The Royals have not yet responded to the mayor on this one. Okay, why not? If this is a good project, why haven't they responded? So, yeah. I mean, that's kind of where we are right now. And it gets so ugly with that state line, you know, because everybody wants to fight to keep one team. It doesn't matter what side of the state line they're on at the end of the day. It matters that they're in our area. And whoever wants the Royals the most will probably end up getting the Royals, whether it's Johnson County, Jackson County, Wyandotte County, Cass County, Nashville, whoever it is, right? Hopefully not Nashville. I just say that, you know.
We're going to lose Mac.
But this is where we are right now. This is what it's all about. Whoever is going to present the best offer on either side of the state line, county line, city line, whatever, that's who's going to end up with this ball club. And so nothing is off the table until there's a deal that is officially done in one place or the other.
You go back, going back to the voting of no, and you talked about the transparency from the Royals and the Chiefs. Do you think you talk about having effect now? Do you think that had an effect on the vote then?
Absolutely, it did because nobody really knew what was going on. The Royals were not transparent with their stadium at all from the beginning. It looked like it was going to be the East Village, and then in the last moment, Mayor L wants to make them move to the crossroads to help Cordish out and draw a bridge over the top, which looked like a great plan. It would have been nice. It would have been wonderful. I would have loved it. I would have voted yes for it had I given that opportunity. But because there were so many moving parts, and it's like juggling a bunch of balls at one time. Yeah. Like you had to have a concrete plan. You had to tell people exactly what that plan was. You had to be forward thinking about it. And they were with the East Village until L got involved. And then they changed the location and that screwed up everything down there.
Well, and now it feels like a domino effect because they heard one thing, saw another. And that's happened seemingly a lot of times in the past, however many months to a year at this point.
That
people aren't really listening anymore. We brought this up earlier, just kind of like, listening to respond. So you have your reports yesterday and these past months saying a lot of the same things and presenting it the same ways. And now finally people aren't listening to any of that. They're just angry.
Angry. Yeah. And I think Dusty, you make a good point as well. People just want it to be over. And I do too. Like, I'm done with this. Like, just get the stadium built. But you got to be transparent with people. You know, you got to let people know what's going on, because when you don't, then the messaging gets like this. And then you have companies trying to save tenants. You got a mayor trying to save a team. And, you know, everybody's in the middle of all of this stuff. And again, as I said, I never said anything was definite. Anything was final. Anything was permanent. Nope. I read the Business Journal article yesterday on the air. I said, this is not coming from Bob Fesco. This is coming from the Business Journal. They're claiming bottom of the ninth. Not me.
Yeah. Just let it be over. Just finish it. Somebody come out and be like, here's where we're going, this is where we're moving, please. And it's here.
Thank you.
Because earlier in the show, we had a source that said it was Sedalia, Grain Valley, or Odessa.
Oh, good.
I like
good.
That, yeah.
Yeah, go put it at the old dirt track in Odessa.
Oh, that'd be good.
There's an outlet mall, you know, that used to be over there. Plenty of space.
Yeah.
Out here to the left is pasture. That's why they call it cow town. Just kidding. Coming up on the other side, Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston. There's no way it works out. I'll explain on the other side on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
That's right. It is a Wednesday here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Don't forget, we do have, this is our final segment, so we have to bring up our poll question that we asked earlier today on our webpage, on our Twitter page, on our X page, TheFan965, because I am interested. I'll be out there tomorrow, interested to see a lot of you out there if you make it. Will you tailgate for opening day for the Royals? Yes or no? Very simplistic. 68.3% of people said yes, 31% said no.
That's good. Yeah, that's kind of what I think it would be, right?
Yeah, that got 70, to, yes.
70%, right?
Because we were starting like 55, 40. It was weird.
Yeah, early in the beginning. Like, wow. Now, surprised.
I do think there is a reason why it's not like a slam dunk, is because I think a lot of people do take a half day tomorrow.
Yeah.
So by the time they get there and you go through the lines of traffic, which there's going to be 36,000 people plus there people. Tomorrow. Mm-hmm. By the time you park, you're like, yeah, we just picked up a deuce, so we're going to use it and walk into the game. Now, not everybody drinks, but I'm saying, or you park your car, you're going to, you know, eat a sandwich, you're going to eat somewhere before you go to the game, and then you're just going to walk straight to the ticket, sit in your seat, because everything's going to start around like 2:30.
Right.
So, exactly. I mean,
there's both worlds in this. Thing,
first pitch is at 3:10 in the afternoon.
I've talked to people who are going to be there at 8 o'clock tomorrow, which I think is crazy, but whatever. Whatever floats your boat. You know, you do you.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, it's very interesting, because I will probably have a few. Somebody says, yo, Dusty, eggs, bacon, and a shot of Jack. Let's go Royals. Hey, let me know where you're at. I don't really drink the Tennessee whiskey, but with eggs and bacon and some fans, I'm down. So I kind of failed some people last year, because you get there and all of a sudden you're like, yeah, I'll meet you. And then like J51 and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, that's I'm not
halfway
walking.
Across. I'm like, sorry, man. I apologize. But no, we'll be out there tomorrow, or I'll be out there tomorrow. So let me know and I'll come say hi and have some fun with
I'll
people.
I'll be out there close to first pitch probably.
Okay,
tomorrow.
So you get there towards the end.
Got some things to take care of in the morning and then head on out there.
So. You kind of have a show to do.
Yeah, I got this and then, you know, funeral to go to tomorrow. Yeah. I mean, it's a funeral on Friday. So we'll get there. And then I got my daughter's first soccer game, her first high school soccer game tomorrow too. So
dang.
Nice. Yeah. Wow, big day.
Big day tomorrow, yeah.
So you're going to be able to make that, obviously.
Oh, God,
yeah, of course.
I wouldn't miss my kids' game for anything, you know?
Yeah, of course.
That's where you get the real joy in life, watching your kids play, you know?
That's so cool.
Except when they do something bad, and you're like, okay.
Yeah, damn it.
I got to reprimand you. No, I kid. There's no better joy for a parent than watching their kids have success. And so we get the opportunity to do that. I'm so proud of my daughter for making the high school
team.
She made the team. And, you know, so it's exciting. It really is. I'm
awesome.
Very, very happy and excited to see her. So they play at like, you know, 5:30, get opening day for about 2 hours and head out to the soccer game.
Nice.
And with the pitching matchup, you know, Dusty keeps talking about Tanner Bibee versus Cole Reagans. 90-minute game we're looking at, maybe old school baseball.
Would love it.
I mean, I don't know. We'll get into the props tomorrow, right? We'll have our futures our game props for opening day. I can tell you right now, to tease that, I like no runs first inning.
Okay.
I like Reagan strikeouts. Obviously, Jose Ramirez.
What's it? Five and a half strikeouts for Reagan.
Is that what it is?
I thought I saw that.
I mean, let's put it in now and put $200 on that.
He'll strike out five in the first three innings.
Yeah, I swear I saw like five and a half or something like that. But again, who knows? 119th and Nollard Northland at this point, right?
Self-deprecating sales.
Yeah, right. I mean, it does, right? You know,
this one guy on Twitter thinks I should be suspended.
Oh, there's people who think we should be fired. I mean,
he's tweeted six times today that I should be fired or suspended. False allegations?
What? Nobody's thinking of false allegations. Nobody allegated anything. We told you what was going on behind the scenes.
At Odyssey, at the fan, the people demand.
What people?
I don't know. People. So Bobby Witt Jr. to hit a home run is plus 550.
Okay.
Jose Ramirez is plus 500. That guy always kills us.
Dude, Jose Ramirez is so good. Like, that's one guy in baseball. I'd be like, I'll trade you anything for him, right? I love watching him play.
Strikeouts thrown. Cole Reagan, six. Minus 120. Seven is plus 170. Tanner Bibee throwing for six strikeouts is plus 156. If you were to parlay those together, plus 525.
So over under 7.5, you're going under.
Well, it's just seven if you want to do it this way.
Gotcha.
And then total bases for Bobby Witt Jr., let's say two. Throw that into parlay. That's plus. Okay, we'll get into that tomorrow. I'm getting way too sports horny for that. Winston and Wilson. Is that the best storyline going into next year's season? Or is Rodgers supposedly maybe retiring the storyline going into the season?
Well, that's the new storyline right now. Ian Rappaport tweeted that Aaron Rodgers is now weighing the Steelers or retirement. This is like the stadium deal all over
again. Is
that
how bad it's gotten?
Good riddance.
Either go to Pittsburgh or you just don't.
Yeah, see you later.
And then there's a story coming out of Pittsburgh that Russell Wilson really wanted to go back to Pittsburgh but decided to sign with the Giants. Yeah, because Pittsburgh didn't want him back.
Yeah, they didn't want him back. And they certainly weren't going to pay him that much money. I'd assume not.
I mean,
no one should have.
So then if he does announce his retirement, that comes tomorrow before first pitch. Or it happens right before the draft. Because, nobody wants me, but there's a team that thought I might go there. Now you're all screwed. Would he do that? Would he retire right before the draft?
I don't think he'd retire, but I don't think he... I mean, if I were him, I wouldn't join a team, and I'd wait. Someone's going to get hurt.
That's
you mean
how
a good
you roll
team?
It?
Yeah. Good team, coming to a good team that will now need you. Or the Vikings start off crappy.
What if...
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm excited.
Now, are you?
I am.
Would you sign him? If something were to happen?
Yeah, I would.
No. No. Not a chance.
Oh, I couldn't help myself. I definitely would.
Then, okay. Give me the one positive.
I mean, his arm. He's still
him
got
and
a great
Travis
arm.
Kelce hate each other. He called him Mr. Pfizer. Travis Kelce's last season.
I did not think about that part.
I didn't think about that part.
That part, then no.
Yeah, exactly.
But if it weren't for that, honestly, I mean.
Oh, let's have Kelce and Aaron Rodgers play together. Travis Kelce would retire that day. You wouldn't see Kelce the rest.
Yeah.
Have your Aaron Rodgers lose Travis Kelce.
No.
Retract your statement?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
No. Yeah, I didn't think about that. But if you're just talking football purposes, yes.
Ugh. No thanks.
Him or Gardner?
Gardner.
Okay. Gardner would be entertaining.
And Gardner gets along with people.
Yeah.
You don't have to walk around on eggshells.
Just football.
Yeah.
I'm talking.
Yes.
No. But no, your 3-hour experience on Sunday, you'd rather watch Gardner than Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I don't know what's... I'd rather watch Jameis Winston than Russell Wilson. I'd rather watch Winston than Aaron Rodgers. It's entertaining.
It's entertaining. Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is going to fall down and get sacked, or he's going to make one play maybe once every 45 throws these days. Rewind the clocks. I would not have watched anybody in the NFL but Aaron Rodgers. He was the greatest quarterback I'd ever seen.
Outstanding. Yeah.
Until Mahomes came along. Talent-wise.
Yep,
there
skill,
was
talent.
The throws, the angles, the windows he'd hit, the Hail Marys. Hell, he's hit like, what, six Hail Mary throws?
Hail Mary King.
Yeah. So, I mean, that back then, he just ain't that guy anymore. And it sucks because, you hate getting older because the guys that were older than you that were athletes, they get older too. That's how life works. and they just don't have the same juice.
Yeah, you're starting to get that experience. You're like, damn, all these guys got old Max still not in that category yet.
I mean, it literally called me. I mean, when I saw Peyton Manning fall apart, I was like, oh my God, I watched this guy lose to Florida every year at Tennessee.
Right.
And I watched this guy get drafted by the Colts and fail in his first year. And then all of a sudden I was like, I watched this guy change football to where it was like, you know, everybody said, oh, Manning in the huddle, Manning three plays. And then Madden literally changed their game for Peyton Manning. Remember that? The QB vision?
Oh, yeah, that was all because of him.
If you sucked, your vision was like a slim little line.
Yeah.
But Peyton Manning's was the entire field.
Everything.
Ah, it was awesome. And then they got rid of it because it was way too hard. So, I don't know. But, yeah, Wilson and Winston, that's a funny storyline.
It's fun.
Give me some Hard Knocks. I know they were the draft version of Hard Knocks last year, right?
They were the offseason GM.
Bears were the true, like the midseason or the who was it?
Preseason, right?
Yeah.
And then the midseason AFC North, which I'm sure soon they'll do a division one again. Honestly,
NFC East.
Aren't we done with Hard Knocks though? I mean, like, did North Carolina bail out of that at this point now already?
They did bail on the offseason one. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, that GM thing's never happening again. No team is ever going to do that again. That was a complete S show for the Giants.
I know we think that Aaron Rodgers.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is narcissistic and whatever he may be. But like, do you think even this is something that's kind of like an ego check, like where it's like, dude, nobody wants you?
I don't think,
or do you think he
understands
it?
That okay. Nobody wants him.
Because I feel like if he is the guy that we think he is, like, is it like one of those things where it's like, well, they just don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
It's like his response.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Nobody signs him. It's their problem, not mine.
Fair enough.
That's how narcissistic people work, right? They'll never admit fault or anything like that.
Well, don't be those people.
No.
Go be nice. Go be kind. Go do something nice for somebody. Because you never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay kind, stay safe. Tomorrow's opening day. Get some good sleep, even though I won't. Cody Golden Drew coming up next from 10 to 2.